Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Mark Chez, who is the founder of CM2 Media, where he serves national and regional brands from a variety of industries and has over 25 years of experience in the industry. So today we're going to be discussing Mark's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Sure.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner and entrepreneur?
We love, like, myself and just everybody that works with us, we're very spirited by the success of the entrepreneur. You know, our main wheelhouse for clients is entrepreneurs. No matter the size of the business, we want to deal with the key decision makers and see their passion, you know, and that's really when we drive results and they can see major improvement. And they're also, you know, a great teammate in the journey, you know, that you can have regular conversations, you can be totally transparent with them, you know, and you know, so the successes, the failures, what's working, what's not, and just be partners in the whole journey. And when you see things really working exceptionally well, you know, that's the greatest reward for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing? I know you've been working in it for 25 years, which is impressive.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes things fall into your lap a little bit. And I was very interested in always being into sports radio. So I had an amazing opportunity at a radio station in Detroit for a couple of years doing sports, covering sports, reporting on them and that. And that was like my whole, like, oh, I'm going to grow up to be this. Except when I was doing that, I had access to a bunch of different things there as far as the sales team, the news desk, just seeing how they were doing their marketing. Got very interested in that. And then I landed into a job at the time it was Casino Windsor, which became Caesars Windsor, a big part of the whole Caesars Entertainment group. And that job turned into so much education, different levels of technical side of sound and lighting. And like, I was getting this broad thing of entertainment, and then it also turned into marketing. And as the organization grew, my role grew. And then I had opportunities to go back to school paid by the company to learn more and more. I just kept stacking more and more and more on top of it. I was like, this is so fun. You know, marketing is fun. And, you know, the creative thing with radio was always a fun piece to me, being conversational in that. So, like, it lended into marketing very well. I was always interested in marketing. You know, I've got a pretty sharp memory, and I, you know, pulling TV commercials and stuff from my childhood and just, you know, watching car races and what sponsor. Oh, the Marlboro car, you know, and stuff like that. So I always had plenty of things into marketing. It wasn't just a sports thing. So then when I started getting more and more experience in the casino industry and doing a lot of different marketing, you know, we got so many more roles into TV and web video and all this. And it just kept being like, man, this is fun, more and more and more. So then I started a freelance business while I was working there. You know, the typical, you know, you're in your young 20s and how can I make some extra cash? This is cool. Yeah. And then the extra cash turned into, let's start developing a real business. And it was just a sole proprietorship at the time. And, you know, growing it into having a real client list, I'm like, this is really what I want to do. And then started weaning off my full-time job, you know, and then building up a business, then met my now wife to move to a different area once we got married. And it was like, there was no jump off the cliff moment for me because I already had a business built up. You know, I had revenue coming in. So when I left a full-time job, and the thing was, too, it was plenty of time, you know, and I could look back, you know, for younger people that are interested in this kind of stuff, you know, the when you should go, when you know it's time, you know, there's times, you know, and things tell you that it's like, you're ready for this, you know, and I had so many clues for it. So then it was move up to the Toronto area, Oakville, to be specific, and just, you know, had a client list and already, and then, you know, just start gaining more and more clients and built it off of just, you know, servicing people exceptionally well.
Awesome. Yeah, it's so smart to just do it, you know, while you have an existing job, start freelancing, build the company up on the side. And then, you know, you know, like you said, that feeling when you've built the company up enough so that you're able to kind of comfortably make that jump. It's still a risk, but you know that you've got that established customer base behind you. So, you've got some cushion there.
Yeah, and it's very interesting too, dealing with clients that, you know, I can tell, you know, who they are. You know, by personality, by types, you know, are they really ready for this? You know, are they organized enough for it? Do they have that vigor, that inspiration? You know, do they have it behind them to really make this work? Or, you know, I found there's some people that COVID created a lot of people that either lost their job or weren't happy with their job. And then they thought, oh, I've got an idea. I can make a business. It's like, a lot of them weren't ready for it. You know, and it's just, you know, there's the difference of the entrepreneur that knows there's going to be ups and downs, but is still very excited about it versus the people that just do things because they, you know, lost their job or, you know, didn't like something about a job, whatever it may be, right?
Yeah, exactly. So when you first started out with CM2 Media, obviously, you know, you had that cushion, you had that established client base, but what were some of those challenges that you had to overcome in the early days?
Well, the early days, I mean, for me, moving to a new area, because I didn't know anybody, right? You know, so trying to go out and be totally like, nobody knows this guy, no contacts, you know, no network. So one of the biggest things was developing a network. And I did a lot of, you know, in-person networking events to get the name out there. And then I had a few people, just my wife's friends that had businesses. So they're like, let's go with you, you know, that worked out very well. Got lots of referrals there, but challenges wise then too, start looking at, you know, growth, you know, staffing, where are you finding people? How are you doing this? The digital model, you know, was really just evolving then. And, you know, that would have been in 2012, and to have people work remotely and working for you. And are you getting stuff done? Who's doing what time is this being billed correctly? Are we hitting, you know, the stuff the client needs on time? Like there was so much there to just, you know, it's all so new, those were probably some of the biggest challenges. And I think just from a business acumen standpoint, you know, when we all start businesses, you just grab onto anything, right? Onto it and it's a client. But I mean, the learning curve on that stuff is massive. And I would say, you know, defining who you really want as clients matters so much. And the sooner you can do it, the better, rather than feeling that, you know, you've just got to take it on because it's going to generate revenue or you're going to be able to pay your bills, because, you know, it sets you up long term for, it can be what is a lot of headaches if you don't like the type of work you're doing or the client themselves, you know, and then if you love it, you know, you want more and you grow with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is an ideal client for you?
Well, the entrepreneur, I mean, they've got to have that heart, that passion. They got to be driven by what they do. You know, we work with businesses that are of all shapes and sizes, and we don't, you know, I don't ever want to have an agency that just silos into one thing. And, you know, COVID taught us a lot about that too. Certain businesses that got shut down that, you know, government control, you had no idea whether they'd open up back up or not. So, you know, we diversify a lot, right? And we want to take lessons from one client to the next, to the next, to the next. And there's a lot of commonalities in them. So when I say to anything, like I've got to vet the client just as much as they vet us. You know, if they found us on Google, it's like, well, I want to have a conversation with you and let's see, do we have a chemistry? You know, because our team's going to work very much like in that flow of what I bring to them and how we work together and our inspiration. So it's got to match. And and also the are you defined as a business? You know, like a lot of businesses, if you don't have, we start now almost exclusively at the strategy piece. You know, oh, they come to you, we want a website. Well, what are you? What do you do? So if they're not ready to go through strategy and just jump into something like Google AdWords or a social media campaign, we've realized it's going to be very challenging. So it's like, let's not do that. If you're willing to start with strategy and let's grow together, you know, become family, you know, is because you get to learn so much about them, you know, grow with them together. That's our ideal client. You know, that they know they need this. They come to us. Typically, they're established as a business. They need to make that next step in growth.
Mm-hmm. So they really appreciate, you know, marketing and appreciate the work that you're doing for them and are open to, you know, trying new things to see, you know, what's really going to work at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we bell curve our clients into a lot of things. You know, if they say they had, you know, give you a budget for a year plan, it's like, let's just not go crazy into that right away. Let's develop a trust and understanding and get the process flow part down, you know, so that, you know, we're set up in the beginning for success, not just jump it headstrong and hope, you know, this is all going to work. You know, we really make sure we get to know them and their process, who their key point people are, you know, to make it all cohesive, right?
Yeah, exactly. So trust is a big thing in digital marketing. You know, there's been, you know, a bit of a reputation in the industry. There's some fly-by-night marketers out there, a lot of agencies have stories about bringing on clients who've been burned in the past. So how do you help build that trust with a new client?
Yeah, we hear a lot of the same. And that's one thing that I, you know, from this company, I just do not tolerate. You know, we'll be transparent with everything. And even, you know, things aren't going to be bliss all the time. You know, they're not, you may miss a deadline. Unfortunately, you know, it's, you don't want to, but somebody got sick, something happened. Be transparent with it, you know, or if the budget's going to be crazy, be transparent, right? So these kind of things, you know, matter so much when it comes to starting that trust factor, you know, building up with them, of putting it all on the table right away. And even in the beginning, I always say the first month is going to be the most difficult. It's always the most challenging because you have no chemistry. You've never worked together. A lot of people don't know what, like, so I find SEO is the most anonymous thing ever. And clients, I'm like, can you send us your SEO reports? Can you send us what you've been getting? I don't know. I've just been paying X amount of dollars for it. I'm like, I don't know what I've been getting. Well, what are your rankings? Like, oh, they said we'd be number one in this. Well, what keywords is it? Search, like, they don't know, right? And even it amazes me, like, how much they don't know where, who owns their hosting or their domain name, right? So it's like, just bringing on details into these things really establishes that trust factor first, you know, and this is how we'll take care of you. And having, you know, an account person that's like, this is your person that you're going to deal with, and we're going to track this in a digital project management tool that you can see how many hours we put into this, what the time, you know, what's going where, right, and how that works. And we also, like, on retainers, we work on a bucket of hours, and not just to be so like, oh, SEO, we got to spend this. It comes with recommendations, but if, you know, if they say they're going to a trade show and we need a backdrop, if we need more copywriting for something, like, whatever it may be, we want some videos this month instead of this, we move our hours around. And, you know, so we help, because the one thing with entrepreneurs, we're go, 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 go. So understanding that, and they don't want to just be stuck in a long-term agreement and feel like, you know, we don't do that. Like, we sign agreements, but we make them very editable. You know, there's no 1 year that you have to the second you sign with us, because I don't like it. So, like, why would I push that on somebody else? So I think those are the key pieces to how we develop trust in the beginning.
That's really interesting, because absolutely, businesses, sometimes you just have to pivot quickly, and working with an agency who understands that and is able to work with you to make that pivot when needed, I think is really cool.
Yeah, entrepreneurs are a different type. You know, you know, if you deal with, you know, large businesses, which in the beginning I did some of that, and, you know, it took forever to get paid, and you're not a priority to them, and even you've done the work and it's not going to get reviews, like, that doesn't work for me. You know, I want to deal with the people that will get the bills paid, that will make the key decisions, that, you know, if we're doing a full brand strategy and logo revamp, like, this needs, you know, these decisions need to be made by the key people and they're happy, not go through the process with 10 different people, then they got to bring it to the big boss, and then I'll say, oh, I don't like the direction at all. It's like, you've just wasted a ton of time. And that just frustrates your own staff and everybody else involved with it. So that's where it's like the dealing with the entrepreneur piece matters so much to us, because it's like, I want clients like me, right? That you know, we want to move on things.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love it. So how do you continue to grow your agency and bring in more leads and then close those prospects?
Well, there's, you know, a few, we do a lot of different things. You know, obviously, there's a thing in agency land, you know, that we always take care of ourselves last. At the beginning of COVID, I changed that with this company, and we revamped our strategy, our website, our social media. So we're very active locally, you know, and the greater Toronto area has got a lot of people and a lot of businesses. So we're very active on social platforms, mostly LinkedIn, you know, and some Instagram. But the, you know, so our own search engine optimization campaigns, you know, we run our own. We actually don't do any paid ads. We've got a great referral base, you know, because entrepreneurs know entrepreneurs know entrepreneurs. But then we're also in a few other, like, I have what I would call a matchmaker service, that literally they're a paid matchmaker service that, like, I've got, you know, they literally bring, what do you need work in, or what are you looking for? Mm-hmm. What types of clients are you looking for? And they literally set up calls with us, and there's no, like, obligation. So this service is working exceptionally well. And then there's just this other networking barter group that I'm in that turns into, you know, it's like a trade group with 5,000 other businesses. So you don't have to spend just with them, but it brings you opportunities, right?
Interesting.
And to grow things. So we're multifaceted in how we find clients, you know, and it's not all just local. You know, we do have clients, some in the United States, many locally here in the Toronto area, and some in other places in Canada. And some are, you know, local, total small businesses local, and some are national brands.
Interesting. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, networking and sales, is that something that you're, you know, constantly learning about and improving on as an entrepreneur, because it's really such an important skill at the end of the day that you're able to effectively sell your services and build relationships with other entrepreneurs.
I think the biggest thing with it is the know what you want. You know, mm-hmm. I say to staff, you know, what's the end goal? What do you want to have happen here, right? So if you're going to do networking, jumping into, you know, a BNI group or something that's just going to have a bunch of insurance salesmen, real estate agents, like, what's that going to do for us? But if there's mm-hmm. a networking group, it's like, you got a roster of people and I can pick them out. Like our the videographer that we've been using for 10 years, like literally started at that. I need to talk to you, right? So from a networking standpoint, is it a fit for you? Don't waste time, you know, listening to anybody else's pitch. It's like, what do I need? Right? Because you can waste so much time in just listening to any and everybody else and what, you know, spend this with me or I'll get you this many leads or whatever. Like it's just, it's got to work for you. And mm-hmm. otherwise, you know, you just, they'll just be a time suck on these things. And some of these, you know, this is one of these early business learnings. Some of these networking events and they were amazing. And some were just a giant waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, BNI is really interesting. I've attended a few of those meetings, but they seem like it's just a lot of, yeah, not really well-established companies, it seems.
Well, that and also it's like that kind of model of, oh, you have to bring so many leads. It's like when we talk digitally, we improve, like maybe use like what we did when we revamped all of our stuff. Mm-hmm. We get less leads now, but they're way better. Right? I'm not interested yeah. in piles of them. And most of our clients, I tell it to them right away, like, we will narrow this down so you would get less calls, less emails, but the close rate on them will be way higher. They will be your ideal client, or most of them will be, right?
Right.
And I think that's the thing when it comes to networking is put yourself in places where you're going to be around like-minded people that you want to do business with, not just to hear all about their business. And then these ones like that BNI model that's like, you have to bring this many leads to every meeting. Like, so much of that's going to be made up just because, uh-oh, you know, it's like, didn't get my homework done. And scratch something on here, right? Oh, I know these people.
Yeah.
Like, that's not a good use wouldn't be a good use of my time.
Yeah, something like going to, like, a mastermind group, and then you're connecting with growth-oriented entrepreneurs would be, a lot better use of your time.
Mastermind groups are amazing, you know.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, those two even understand the fit, because some, you know, small ones can be far more effective than large ones, but large ones, you may meet more people, you know, that turn in. Yeah. I love the mastermind idea. You know, any of them that I've participated in, I always leave with something that's going to impact my business, you know, because when you're dealing with other business owners, you really, you know, you ask a lot of questions, you have some commonalities in things, and there's some way they're doing something that's different than you are, or you didn't even consider it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's definitely something that I'm considering starting, in the new year. So yeah, there's so much value for entrepreneurs in them. So,
yeah, sometimes you just need that, that poke, you know, from somebody else that, you know, it's like somebody else that's at the same level as you, has dealt with the same issues, has the same successes, you know, those kind of things, like that's relatable to me. You know, it's not always going to be your friends or your neighbor or even, you know, a coworker, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, because sometimes they'll just tell you what you want to hear, right?
Yeah.
It's like, you go to a mastermind, man, somebody, don't do that. You know, like some of that's the best advice, or I've been through that and it's the worst, you know, don't. So yeah, I find that type of, you know, it's a networking tool, but those things are amazing.
Yeah. Well, there's so many things that you're juggling as an entrepreneur as well. And sometimes things get just put on the back burner, and it's good to just, you know, bring that to the front of your attention as well. And then you're like, yeah, that's something I really need to, you get inspired. It's something I need to bring back and start focusing on again.
Yeah. And I find with those groups too, yeah, you develop a chemistry with certain people within them, mm-hmm. but then just turn into, you know, longer standing relationships, you know, even just have a text, you know, or Slack somebody, you know, you got 5 minutes, you know, and just literally run something by them that, you know, they'll do the same with me too. It's that part is huge.
Yeah. Awesome. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing CM2 Media?
Well, I mean, we'd be ridiculous to not say COVID.
You know? Yeah.
it's COVID at the beginning, we lost 80% of our retainer business. And
scary.
Oh, and with many of them not knowing when they were going to reopen or they were allowed to open and close and that. So mm-hmm. we had to make a major pivot. You know, we had some staff move on. We had, you know, finding staff since COVID's been a challenge itself. Growth always has other challenges of how are you handling things. And, you know, you have that as an entrepreneur-based business, a lot of people want me and my time. you know, and I've got a delegating my own time is probably one of the biggest challenges, you know, where it should be fit. How much time do I need to spend with staff? You know, how much training needs to go into it? And getting back into the office, we're running on a hybrid model now, has been so important just to coach and condition and understand expectations in that rather than, you know, on Zooms where people tune out, dogs showing up, you know, friends texting, whatever, like having people in a room that are attentive, you know, to be able to coach and get this stuff done. That's been so much better for us over the last, you know, 6 months, say, where it's really, you know, been ramping back up to in person. You know, because COVID really like, oh, this is the new model. I'm like, I firmly do not believe that at all. There's time to work at home and on your computer in quiet or however your best working conditions are. But there are times when you need people, and especially when, you know, we're doing creative work. Creative needs to be brainstormed, shared. You know, brainstorming creates new ideas and other things. You may not use them that day. You'll use them later on. You know, there's that, honestly, I'd say is probably the biggest challenge as an agency. Like, you know, we could always fulfill the work, but was it our best work? Like, no, there's no way it was our best work because, you know, we weren't in person collaboratively going over things. And even think of the way the connection of, you know, brand messaging from, you know, digitally over working over, you know, Zoom and a project management tool, you're so siloed. And it's like, so if you're doing, what's the SEO strategy to what are you doing on social to what is this saying on the website to having it all be cohesive, very challenging, you know, when you've got so many people doing it and you can only have so many calls too to not kill your profit margin, right? You can't have four people on a Zoom to talk about this and on a Zoom to talk about this and a Zoom to talk about this. So, you know, getting people back in person has been a big thing that's, you know, it's correcting what I'd say was the biggest challenge.
Yeah. So you brought up something that was interesting. You mentioned that a lot of your clients, because they're entrepreneurs, want to be speaking with you directly. but obviously, you know, your time is so valuable. So how do you prioritize and, you know, maybe manage expectations with your clients to, you know, explain to them that, you know, you can't be on call for them all the time? And how do you be prioritizing your time so that it's you're growing the company?
Well, that's where, you know, the working with entrepreneurs matters so much. They get it, right? They really get it. They have some of the same challenges. So I'll say right up front, you're not always going to get me. You're going to have a project manager that will be your main point of contact. I will be involved in the creative pieces. And I always say there's this two of my former bosses both work this way, you know, not being micromanagers, but if it's on the bottom end of the 20% in the negative or the top end of the 20% in the positive, I need to be involved. So, you know, and that comes from staff, you know, to bring me in when it matters the most. Clients call me, obviously, you know, set up times, book meetings, but I even know my workflow in my day, you know, my meeting time is best spent in the afternoon because I get the bulk of my work done in the morning. My brain's sharper then, you know, so it's like schedule in the afternoons, whether it be go for lunch. I'm a firm believer in social and in person, you know, is way better. You know, so if it's go for lunch, go have a, you know, a beer, a coffee, you know, whatever it may be, but just to go over things, I'm all for that. But it's got to be scheduled. But again, entrepreneurs don't want to have 3-hour meetings. You know, they're an hour, we're out. Great. We got all this solved. What are our takeaways? You know, so thing that works exceptionally well.
Yeah. And I think also just managing their expectations, like what you do, you explain right from the start, like you're not going to be the person that they're going to be speaking to all the time and just making that introduction to whoever their, you know, account manager is.
I'll even position it too. You don't want me to be the one because, you know, I'll miss a bunch of stuff. I'm not the every task has a checklist for this, you know, it's so micro level. That's not me. You know, I'm a creative. I want to go, you know, and it needs, and you know, when we have calls with our project managers, they're literally like, slow it down.
you're the big picture thinker, and then there's other people who are more detail oriented.
Yeah, we're not
really
there yet.
Thrive off that checklist.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, love it. Awesome. So, where do you see CM2 Media in 5 years' time?
I mean, there'll be changes. My ideal view of it is, you know, larger building, not much bigger staff wise, but everybody coming in almost, you know, almost every day working together and having, you know, more of the spirited interaction, you know, as we get there, as it goes. You know, we've worked very well on getting our ideal clients. So growing together with them, you know, the ones that we worked the longest with, you know, we're most successful with. So continued growth with those. And then, you know, there's a few industries that I really, and you know, you talk about like the sports thing, you know, that's like, that was my passion. It's like, I would love to get more clients in sports because it's like very equipped, my knowledge of sports, my passion for it, plus all the marketing. It's like, that would be, so much, you know, so much fun as work to do, yeah. to work with, you know, some sports companies, in that. I mean, I'm interested in the gambling space too, you know, mm-hmm. from working in a casino background, there's so mm-hmm. much going on in that space. But again, it's gotta be, you know, the dealing with the entrepreneurs and who they are. So, you know, a bigger staff, more in the direction that I only do what I love. You know, and as entrepreneurs, we do get sucked back into things. As you let go of some things, you do get sucked back into some things you don't love. And, mm-hmm. you know, just really doing the creative stuff and the client engagement pieces, because that's what I love.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Love it. So before we move on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions, mm-hmm. Do you have any, you know, final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I think, you know, digital marketing in itself, you know, as an agency, we always have to continually evolve and, mm-hmm. you know, and staffing has such an impact on of who you bring on. Right. And they're, the hire slow, fire fast thing, it may sound pretty crude, but it's like, it's so important to make sure that your staff is aligned with your vision and that they're, you know, you're not going to have it. Not everybody's going to be like you, and you don't really want them to be, but are they learning from you? Are they listening? Are they taking notes? Are they growing, you know, within the company? And that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's one of the biggest things I find now with all this talk of employee retention and the young ones don't get it and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. We didn't get it either to our older generation, you know, like,
yeah.
you know, they all thought the same things. Oh, you know, when yeah. I was growing up, you watch too much TV, you play too many video games. Well, now it's you're on your phone too much. You're on that iPad too much, right? It's just something next. So it's, you know, relating more back to them to understand that, you know, their life is not, you know, you're bringing on younger staff, right? That their life is not, it's not ridiculous. You know, we're just a different generation, and understand yeah. how they work and how to coach them to be better workers. Right. You know, there's yeah. a lot there that, people just want to just be like, oh, they're just useless. They don't know responsibilities. Like, we can help them. We can help
yeah,
them along.
Teach them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause we've got a very good staff of young people that are, you know, growing with us. And a lot of that is,
that's
you know,
awesome.
Came on during COVID. So, you know, it's not doom and gloom when it comes to the labor force, but mm-hmm. time invested in them pays off.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I think just making sure that they are in line with your values and that they're a good fit. And then, you know, you can, even if the skill set's not 100% there, I think as long as they have those base skills, you know, you can really train a lot of people from there. You know, if they've got that, you know, pride in their work and their ability to want to grow within the company as well.
Yeah.
You can really train a lot of skills from
absolutely.
There.
People first. I mean, one of the things we do in interviews and then in onboarding is the values piece.
Yeah.
You know, it has to match.
It's huge.
Yeah, it doesn't, because I find everything runs into a problem at integrity. You know, if it doesn't match up
yes.
with you, that it's going to be a problem. So
yep.
if you're feeling that one during an interview, even though you may be desperate to hire somebody, don't do it, because it's
yeah.
going to set you back farther.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, now we're going to move on to the fast five. So I've got five rapid fire questions for you.
Sure.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
Awesome. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The E-Myth.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh,
yes.
It's the roles and how it, you know, it defines people. And it's like, it's so, when I look at what we talked about a lot during this podcast, that book alone, it's like it defines people, and you see it in them. You know, a lot of people
yeah.
that are employees in their own businesses, they're not, you know, they're going to be counting every dollar, you know, they're going mm-hmm. to be putting in too much extra time. Right. And it's like, it's so important to see that when you're interviewing people to be your clients alone, what do they fit into? You know, what role are they in that? It matters so much.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good book. And making sure that you're taking that time to be growing the business and not just getting caught up and working in the business all the time.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
yeah.
not even thinking that a lot of people want to have, because they work on, say, you know, a billable hours model, that they got to feel like all their time has to be so structured and tracked. And it's like, if a client wants to go golfing, you know, and it's like, and you don't have that 5 hours in a day, we'll find it. You know what I mean? Because if
yeah.
they've asked you, it's probably important to them. And it's going to be an amazing time for relationship building and finding out more, right? And it's going to be, you know, nice, and a nice day out of the office in sunshine
yeah.
is cool. It's good for you.
Yeah, definitely. And then, so what does your morning routine look like?
I like to get to work fast, right? Because I just know the way, you know, the way that I work is I'm hyper-focused until about 12, 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm literally like, you know, go do a little bit of reading, go through, you know, the plan of the day. You know, what must I get done today?
Yeah.
Have a breakfast, shower, and go to the office, you know, and just get on to it. Because the uninterrupted, no emails, no phone calls time is amazingly, you know, it's amazingly sharp work time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it just gets me into it, you know. So then the exercise component typically comes when I feel like mentally I'm fading, you know. So it's like some people get up and do the exercise thing right away. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm like, get into the work mode. I know how I function best.
Yeah. It's so important to know when those peak times of your life are when you're most productive and just really take advantage of them.
Yeah.
Like the same way, first thing in the morning, super productive. Late afternoon, I'm tired. And I know that sometimes meetings can be a bit draining. So I'm the same as you. I'll schedule those like later on in the day in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then the time I need to be sharp, I'll focus on first thing in the morning, those tasks.
Yeah. It's a very key piece for any business owner, you know, not just a, you know, an agency owner to know, you know, when your time is best spent, when during the day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
No, I like the network piece. You know, there's some older mentors that I have, you know, old bosses, still talk to them. Having, you know, a beverage or a lunch with somebody or a dinner, just picking their brains in person. And I find the different experiences matter so much. You know, it's like some people get obsessed, you know, in the LinkedIn world of, you know, the 5 ways to run your business. It's like, that doesn't apply really, you know, and it's like, oh, go follow Elon Musk. Well, that's not reality, you know, for everybody, you know, oh, Richard Branson does this. Like, it's like, oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but we're not Richard Branson. Right. So, you know, I like to know a lot more and get to know a lot more people at different levels and different places in their business, not just older ones too, you know, some younger ones that are, like I had an amazing meeting yesterday with a younger CEO of a company. And just, it was fascinating, you know, just how much you take away from that meeting. And some of it too is how much, you know, you know,
because
sometimes you feel like you're always going to meet somebody to find out more and absorb more, but it's like, sometimes I leave with them like, yeah, I've improved a lot there.
Yeah, that's so cool. I know it's so true. You never know when you're going to learn something from someone else. So just, you know, always be networking, communicating with other people, talking about different things. And you never know when you're going to learn that next piece of helpful information to help grow your business.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite online tool?
I love, this kind of goes to like my sports world thing, but I love SEMrush, and why I relate it to sports world and like fantasy sports and data collection, how analytics is so big in sports that like, you know, SEMrush is our main tool for SEO, for AdWords strategy, for social campaigns, how we're going to, you know, navigate through them, the hashtags to use, and so on and so forth. And I just love watching the data work. You know, when you put something together, like, you know, an SEO strategy and looking at the keywords and then seeing it, it's like a scoreboard. It's just like a constantly moving scoreboard. So I get pretty fascinated into it. And I have to be careful how much time I spend in tools like that, you know, because like, oh, this is fun. Oh, go after this. Oh, we got, you know, Google My Business listing is going up this much. It's like, this is great. Like, you know, that to me is fun, but also it can be extremely time consuming if you let it.
Awesome. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Probably start as early as possible. And I say this, you know, I feel like I probably got into running a business a little later, maybe than I should have, you know, can't change the past, but if we're to pass on information to somebody, it'd be like, if you're feeling it, if you think you got the vibe, go do it, because there's never going to be a right time. So the earlier you start, the more experience you get. You know, you cannot replace experience, right? I mean, so many people are obsessed with, you know, education, meaning school-based. And it's like some of the greatest education you will ever get is through experience and failure. And when you're young, you're going to fail a lot because, you know, you think you know everything, but you know nothing really. You know, so it's like, let's, you know, like learn as much as you can earlier. And if you feel like there's risk in it, well, if you want to be an entrepreneur, there is risk. So start the risk earlier and learn how you deal with risk at a younger age.
Yeah. Well, and also the benefits of starting younger is also you might not have a mortgage. You might not have a family at that time. So you have, you know, you're able to take more risks and maybe not have to worry so much about failing and not having, you know, the money to pay your mortgage, et cetera.
Well, absolutely. And even if you find that, you know, the risk is too much for you, then, you know, maybe being an employee is the better thing for you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Mark, it's been great having you on the show today. Thank you so much for joining me. I've really enjoyed learning about your journey of entrepreneurship and starting CM2 Media. So thank you for joining me for today's episode.
Thanks. That was great.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.